Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate my family. Amen. So very much. Amen. Kids who love the Lord. Amen. That want to serve the Lord. Amen. A wife that follows me around and supports. Amen. She's the biggest part of our ministry. And I love them and appreciate them so very much. Amen. Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 24. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you can hear the evidence of revival in our voices. And so for that manner, if I could, I'd like to ask the sound men just to help me as much as you can without making it uncomfortable. Amen. I certainly would appreciate that. Amen. We had church around here last night. And you know, if you're Pentecostal, when you have church, you just sometimes can't contain yourself. Amen. We kind of act like those people, you know, that in the world that they think it's normal to scream and hoop and holler. You know, all them people, then they look at us and say, boy, you got to be quiet in church. Well, some of us, we just don't get that memo. All right. When we feel Jesus like they feel about their teams winning, we want to escalate our praise. Come on. Anybody else feel that way? I don't, and this has nothing to do with my message, but I don't think the world ought to out-worship the church. Amen. Do you? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So thank God for what He's been doing. Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 24. Amen. If you have it, say amen. And as He thus spake for Himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Can you read that with me tonight? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, come on, say this word, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost. I want to talk to this generation, these young people tonight on this thought. Lost by six letters. Lost by six letters. Father, would you touch us tonight? Move in this house. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me to preach and help me, Lord, to bring this to an altar service to where you pick up and you take over right then and there and cause us, Lord, to search our hearts. Most of all, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, that you would arrest their hearts, I pray, Lord, and save them tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. There is something about the margin of defeat that can make it easier or harder to handle. A lot of you raised your hand just a few moments ago when Brother Brian asked who was going to play sports tonight, play ball. And if you're at all competitive like I am, any defeat hurts. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's by 1 point or by 40 points. Amen. I like to win. I don't think you ought to play if you don't play to win. Amen. But it's the ones that are close that hurts the worst. How many agree with that? Those defeats that are just right there. They're within your fingertips, if you will, and you still lose. My 11-year-old son, he has but one ambition, and that is to beat his 38-year-old dad in a game of pig on the basketball court. And he wants to very bad. And he really tries. tries really, really hard. And there's some times, I'll be honest with you, that it looks like, and it has looked like, that he was going to put a whooping on old dad. I remember one time in particular, just last summer, or maybe it was fall time, we was playing and you know, I just out there kind of horsing around, if you will, and just kind of shooting and trying to make long shots. And I got behind. I was PI, you know, and he was nothing. I mean, it was right there, and I thought he was really getting excited about it, you know, and until old dad started trying to shoot a little bit harder and a little bit better, and I came from all the way down from PI to nothing, and I beat him, and of course I didn't rub it in at all, you know, I just saved it for, you know, public humiliation right here tonight, and I didn't remind him at all about it, you know, that, well, maybe just a little bit. And it seemed to bother him just a little bit worse, because victory was right there in his fingertips, and yet he still lost. Amen. There's several sporting events that if you'll read after them, amen, have ended with the losing team coming within inches of making the basket. Amen. Maybe coming within that final yard of scoring that touchdown, or just a foot from knocking that grand slam over the wall. And it seems to be that those losses, amen, they seem to be remembered the most. They seem to be taken the hardest. One man said, after a loss by just a few points, he said, it would have been easier to take had they blown us out by 35 points than to come that close and still lose. There's something about losing by a close margin that makes it harder to take. Now, I want to tell you tonight, it's going to be a tragedy for anybody to go to hell. It's going to be a tragedy for anybody to die lost. Amen. It'll be terrible and heartbreaking for anybody in this house, amen, to perish and to go to hell, because your Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. Amen. But I believe that it's going to be a greater tragedy for some to go to hell than it is for others. You say, well, I really don't understand what you're saying. Amen. Listen, I'm not talking about those who live in a country where they can't worship freely. I'm not talking about someone who lives in a, amen, a country where they don't, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, amen, you're persecuted. I'm not talking about someone who doesn't have a church, or who doesn't have a pastor, or who doesn't have a Sunday school teacher, or has never frequented an altar. Amen. But I think it's going to be more tragic for someone who does have a church, and who does have a pastor, and who does know the Bible, and has prayed in our altars, to be lost than for somebody who has never had those advantages that you have had. It's going to be tragic for somebody to go to hell that has never felt the presence of God. Amen. But to me, it's going to be more tragic, amen, for somebody who have sat in our services and have felt the conviction in power of God, and knows the songs, knows the scriptures, amen, to die lost and go to hell. Somebody who has felt the presence of God, somebody who has, amen, felt the Spirit of God as he brushed across their lives. It's sad to think that someone who has all the advantages they need to make it to heaven would still wind up dying lost and going to hell. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, there's some in this house. You do have a pastor. You do have a youth pastor. Amen. You do have a great church. You do have a great youth, amen, group. Amen. You have all the advantages that you need to make heaven. But you're still bent on living for life of sin. You're still bent on rebelling against God. Amen. Can I tell you, it's going to be worse. It's going to be tragic, amen, for you to know what you know, and to have felt what you felt, to still die lost and go to hell. Amen. Oh God. Amen. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. He presents his defense before Felix and then Festus. Festus asked King Agrippa, amen, to hear Paul's defense. So here in Acts 26, we are reading Paul's defense. He testifies about his background, where God brought him from. He tells about God's plan to save mankind. And then he looks at Agrippa and he says, you know all about this. None of this was done in a corner. You're not ignorant of this. And at the conclusion of his words, King Agrippa, amen, utters perhaps one of the most saddest words in all of Scripture. It is a word that is one of the most heartbreaking words in the entire Bible. It's a word so simple that even the youngest child could sound it out, but yet a word so profound that it sent the smartest folks to hell. It's not a big word. It's just six letters, but it's a word that's going to haunt King Agrippa throughout the endless ages of eternity, when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Amen. You know what he was saying, Paul? It wouldn't have taken a whole lot more. Amen. Paul, I was right there. I was thinking about it. I wanted to sell out. Amen. But yet, amen, I chose to live. Amen. My own way. My God in heaven. I feel like there's somebody in this house. You're right there. You're thinking about it. You want to live for God. You're almost persuaded. Amen. I'll tell you what you ought to do. Go ahead, sell out. Go ahead and give it to God. Don't die lost by six letters. Amen. Amen. Paul, I sat there in winter warm-up, and I heard them sing about Jesus. Oh, I heard them sing about the blood. I heard them sing about a resurrected Christ. I sat right there on that Friday night, and I felt, did anybody feel his presence when it moved into this building? Amen. I felt it. Amen. Amen. I had every chance to get right. I had every chance to pray. But I just couldn't make up my mind. And now King Agrippa has to face eternity almost saved. Amen. I'm afraid that I preach to young people on a consistent basis that has that same attitude as King Agrippa. It's not that they refuse to come to church. It's not that they want to die lost. It's not that they want to rebel against their pastor. It's not that they want to go to hell. Matter of fact, they love church. They love winter warm up. They love singing in the choir. They love the preaching. Matter of fact, they almost came to the altar. Matter of fact, they almost responded. Matter of fact, they almost repented. But the problem is just that. They almost. But can I tell you, to be almost right is always wrong. And to be almost saved is always lost. And almost heaven is always hell. Amen. The greatest tragedy is for you to sit here, amen, and feel the presence of God and walk out saying, I almost. Oh God, I'm telling you tonight, I feel a burden. I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many knows it's going to be tragic for somebody in this house to face eternity almost saved? Help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus looked at a man that was lost by the same measure in Mark chapter 12. When that scribe came to him and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus would look at him and say, Love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. There's strength in thy mind. The second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. That scribe agrees with him and he says, thou hast said the truth. Amen. I want you to understand, this man was a man who had all the right answers. This man was a man who understood the scriptures. This man was a man who knew the commandments. Amen. He was a well-studied man. But even though he knew everything, he still would not follow him. Watch this. For Jesus would look at him and say, thou art not far from the kingdom. Six letters. Not. Come on, somebody. Far. You're in it, but you're really not in it. You're close, but you're not close enough. You're not saved, but you're right there. You're in church, but you've never sold out. Amen. And listen, we never hear anything about him after this. He looked the part. He dressed the part. He has everything right on the outside. But it does not matter how the outside looks. What matters is what's in your heart. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We put so much emphasis. Amen. And I'm afraid tonight that we have people in this place, amen, that knows the songs. They know the scriptures. Amen. Some of you, if I asked you to do sword drill, you could rattle off the scriptures. You would know where John 3:16's at. Come on now. Here's what I found out. I'm not preaching to novices. Come on now. Amen. I'm not preaching. Matter of fact, it's the novices that's the quickest to respond. Come on now. I'm telling you, the generation I preach to as young people, amen, there's so much attractions. There's so much pull from the world. Come on, somebody. Amen, that now, amen, even though they know that Jesus Christ is the best thing that could happen in their lives, they're still bent on trying drugs. They're still bent, amen, on checking out pornography. They're still bent, amen, on hanging out with the worldly crowd. Amen, can I tell somebody, I don't care if you was raised in church. I don't care if your daddy's a preacher or you're a pastor's kid. If you've never had a personal relationship with the Lord, amen, you're going to be lost by a small margin. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Ooh. My dad was preaching at a church just a few months ago, and a young man who looked the part, a young man who dressed the part, a young man who was an integral part of that church. When the altar call came, he made his way to the altar and cried and wept. Amen. And got up and said, after all these years of playing church, this is the first time I've ever been saved. And I am thoroughly convinced that there are young folks who sing in our choirs. I'm thoroughly convinced that there's young folks who ride our buses. There's young folks who work in our Sunday school departments. That if the truth be told, amen, they've never had a relationship with God. Can I tell you, amen, you're not far. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Listen. Amen. I'm not saying that an outward appearance does not matter. But can I tell you, an outward appearance is nothing but a manifestation of an inward experience. Come on. on, don't you back up on me right now. I said an outward appearance is a demonstration of an inward experience. Amen. When you ever get saved, it'll be more than ritual. It'll be more than duty. It'll be more than I have to, because mom and dad says you'll do it because you love him. My God, you'll serve him because you love him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raised in church. Hallelujah. Can sing the songs. They don't even have to call out the number in the song book for some of you kids. You know the songs. But when choir practice is over, and when church is ended, and you've done your little whatever you do of making everybody feel like that you're saved, you walk out those doors, and you get in your bedroom, and you shut your door, and you're exploring things that you should never explore. You're so close. But you're so far. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. I'm not here to be a prophet of doom and gloom. But there's somebody in this house that if you're not careful, you're going to be lost by six letters. Come on now. Amen. Oh, God. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God for His Spirit. I thank God for this revival. I thank God you would have just had to have been here. How God has kissed this place. Amen. With His glory and His presence. Hallelujah. But all through my spirit today, I thought it's going to be devastating for somebody to have sat through the revival we've had. Amen. Somebody who has sat through the move of the Holy Ghost that we've had. Amen. They looked apart. They came to church. They went through the motions. But when it came to following Him, they never gave Him a commitment. Amen. It's going to be devastating for you to look up through the flames of hell and say, I didn't have to die like this. Amen. I could have got saved. I could have sold out to God. And the good news is, you can do it tonight in this service. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read where Jesus is going to look at folks and say, well, Lord, I've cast out devils in your name. Come on now. I prayed for the sick and they was healed in your name. I've seen miraculous. Oh, Sister Rebecca, I felt a witness of my spirit. When you begin to ask people to raise their hands wherever you are. Hallelujah. Of who have saw someone healed. Oh, my mind went back to some of the stories that I still preach about today. Thank God for what God has. I've seen the miraculous. Come on, somebody. Amen. But how tragic would it be for me to stand before God and Him look at me and say, depart from me, I never knew you. How's that possible? Because you can be lost by six letters. Oh God, can I tell you? Amen. I hear you tonight. Amen. I hear you in my spirit. Well, amen. I'll make a decision another time. Amen. I'm just not ready to make a decision tonight. Can I tell you, one day not making a decision will be your decision. Come on, somebody. Not making a choice will be your choice. And it's going to be sad for somebody who sat in this service that had the possibility to make the choice to say, not now. Amen. I got a question for you. Why not? Amen. Amen. I said, I'll answer that six letters with another six letter. Why not? Why not tonight? Why not right now? Amen. Why not sell out to God right now? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Agrippa, you ain't the only one. You're not the only one who heard Paul and was still lost. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, they sent for Paul. And as he reasoned of righteousness, Felix, watch this, Felix trembled. Oh God. Felix was under conviction. Oh, Felix, can I say it like this? Gripped the back of the pew until his knuckles turned white. Oh, I thank God for conviction. I said, I thank God for conviction. You know what I'd like to see in this service tonight? Amen. I know what you'd like to see. You'd like to see running and shouting and hooping and hollering. Amen. And I would too. But more than that, I'd like to see old-fashioned conviction fall this house. Oh, I've been in the services where conviction fell. Amen. And you could have heard a pin drop. Come on, somebody. You might know. Come on, do I got any old timers like me and Brother Phil? Amen. That'd say, I remember those services. Amen. Where conviction. I want to tell you something. The greatest services that stick out in my mind is not where the preacher preached prosperity and love and peace in this happy, clappy, amen, feel good message. Amen. Let me tell you the best thing, the best times that I remember in church is when the preacher plowed my row and the Holy Ghost sent conviction. Amen. Can I tell you, if you got a preacher that'll preach on hell to where conviction falls, you ought to thank God for old-fashioned conviction preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul preaches. Felix trembles. But listen to what he said. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix was saying 6 letters. Not now. Can I tell you tonight, that's a dangerous thing for you to say. Not tonight. I feel it, but I think I'll wait till next service. Can I tell you, I stand here tonight as a witness to the fact that you may not have another service. My 51-year-old cousin, after we had just buried my grandfather, she was the last one I talked to when I left that funeral that Tuesday. I walked up to her. As I was walking out, I turned around. I walked back to her. I can vividly remember it. And I hugged her. And I said, I love you, Karma. And I turned around and I walked out. Got in my car. Drove to Oklahoma. Getting ready to come here. Only at 2:30 on Thursday to get the phone call. Karma's had a heart attack. It doesn't look real good. Pray they're giving her a 25% chance to live. Hallelujah. By 5 o'clock that night, my first cousin had went out into eternity. Thank God she was saved. But as she was laying there, conscious when a lot of this was going on, not having a clue that death was 20 minutes away. Come on now. Can I tell you, in those moments, you ain't got time to call 1-800 prayer line. Come on, young folks. You ain't got time to go hunt down daddy and say, daddy, will you pray for me? Amen. Can I tell you, when you're hanging upside down in a car in a ditch somewhere, amen, you ain't got time to call you pastor and say, can we have winter warm up? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, amen. Amen. Somebody, you say, not now, not now. Amen. Can I tell you, when death is 20 minutes away, you'd wish you had right now. Amen. Oh my God in heaven. Amen. I feel the urgency of this service tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, you're acting like your hair's on fire. I feel like it is. Because somebody in this house is procrastinating. And can I tell you, procrastination has sent millions of young people to hell. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go to every backslider. I'm closing. Go to every backslider and ask them. You go ask them. Come on, come on, listen to me. You that are bent on going the ways of the world, go ask every backslider. Do you plan on coming back? Yeah. Yeah. I plan on coming back. When? When I get ready. Can I tell you, you don't reserve the right to determine when that day is. Oh God, I hope you're praying, Mom and Dad, because I'm reaching for your babies tonight. Hallelujah. You don't deserve. Almost everybody would say, I need to, but just not today. I plead with somebody tonight. I plead with you young people tonight. Amen. Listen. Listen. At the running of the risk I knew I would be tonight. To come in here and to try to pull everybody into an altar and try to make a shout and hoop and holler. And have, the Holy Ghost has kept pounding in my spirit. Somebody, they're right there. They're right there. But they're procrastinating. Can I tell you? Why would you be lost by six letters when you could be saved by five? Ooh. Today! It's a day of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I said, amen, I'm going to say that again. Why would you be lost by six letters when you can be saved by five? Today is a day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. Amen, can I tell somebody, you don't have to walk out of this place, amen, being lost by six letters. You can be saved by five. Grace. Mercy, the blood today. Amen. Come on, somebody. That blood that we sang about, it's still flowing tonight. And the mercy that we sang about is still reaching right now. Come on, baby doll. Come to me. I came to encourage you tonight. Don't procrastinate any longer. Where you at, young folks? Where you at? I'm looking beyond the facade. I'm looking beyond the long hair and the long dress. Come on now. I'm looking beyond the lifting up of your hands. There's a lot of religious folks that's in hell tonight. Come on, come on. I don't care if you sing in a choir. I want to know, do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Why would you say, not now? Why would you say almost when the Holy Ghost is saying today? I believe the Holy Ghost came tonight to stop someone in their tracks, put a roadblock up, hit you right between the spiritual eyes and say, you know you're not living right. Come on, come on, come on, answer the question. Answer the question. Be honest. Be honest. If you was to die tonight, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Hey, that's your two options. Either you are lost or you are saved. You are either in, oh God, or you are out. I'm very comfortable with my assignment tonight. I'm not rushing this altar call. No. You may not respond. You may not come to the altar, but your exit of this building screams very loudly. Not now! Almost. Brother Brian, I feel like some of them. Thank you, sis. There's a lot more. I don't want everybody to come right now. I just want those who really... Look, Brian, I feel like tonight that there's young people in this house. Their heart's beating fast. There's a lump in your throat. Can I tell you what that is? That's the Holy Ghost knocking on your heart, and He's demanding an answer. Why not today? Of my buddy, my friend, who played the drums in our home church. Can't help but think on that snowy, icy Sunday morning as he was coming home from a party. Dale played the drums in our church, but he decided, I got plenty of time. I'll just go out and have a little fun. And on that Sunday morning, as he rented that I believe it was a Corvette, went and test drove it for the weekend. It was about 9:45 when he was coming down Main Street in Claremore, Oklahoma. One brother that was going to church drove up beside him and recognized him. Rolled the window down. They're driving down the road. And that brother said, "Hey, Dale, you coming to church this morning?" And Dale said, "No." He said, "I've been at a party and I'm not feeling well." He said, I'm gonna go home and try to sleep this off. "Dale, won't you come to church?" Three times Dale said, no, I think I'm going to go home." And he rolled up the window. And Dale's last words was, "I'll catch you later." And 1 mile from the church, I can't drive by there. I can't go to my home church without rounding that corner where that rock wall is. And when Dale rounded that corner in that Corvette or whatever it was, he punched the gas and it slid out of control and slid into that rock wall. Instantly. I'll never forget. I was running late for church that day and I came upon the scene. I drove up. And I ran up to that car. I saw church people out there and I looked in at that blonde-headed 19-year-old boy. And I said, "Dale, you were so close to safety." Y'all ain't feeling this. I looked at him about 2 weeks prior to that, sitting in Mazio's pizza parking lot. I said, "Dale, come back to church." He said, "Not right now. No, I just don't want to." And I said, "Dale, don't make me use you as a sermon illustration." And he said, "I won't." But he did. Because he said, "Not now." I'm telling somebody tonight is your night. This ought to be a powerful altar service because there's someone in this place. You're going back and forth. I'm almost persuaded to go to the altar. If my friends wasn't sitting beside me, I'd go to that altar. Can I tell you? Can I tell you 5 seconds after the rapture take place, you won't care who's sitting beside you. I said 5 seconds after Jesus comes, you won't care. You know what you'll be doing? You'll be climbing over pews. Amen. You'll be screaming and running and begging God for mercy. Amen. But after the trumpet sounds, there is no mercy. That's why you gotta do it now. I said that's why you gotta do it now. That's why you gotta do it tonight. That's why you need to get saved right now. Come on, I want it for somebody in this house. Come on. Come on. That's it, young lady. That's it. I'm proud of you right there. I'm proud of you. Come on. There's one. Come on, is there somebody else? You know what you're saying? Oh, that's not for me. Hey, you know what you're saying? Not now. You know what you're saying? Amen. I'm not far. I'm not far. Amen. Can I tell you? Mercy's here. Grace is here. Amen. The blood's here. Calvary's here. Amen. Come on. Come on, moms and dads. Amen. I wish you'd help me right now. Pray. Amen. I wish you'd help me call down heaven. Amen. Somebody might die lost. Amen. Unless they get it right tonight. Please don't die lost by 6 letters. Hallelujah. Come on, is there somebody else? Come on. Come on, how about it? How about it? How about it, preacher's kid? How about it, preacher's kid? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I want everybody right now, where you're sitting, we got some praying. I want you right now, moms and dads, I want you to lift your voice and I want you to cry loud tonight and ask God to send Holy Ghost conviction. Come on, anybody believe He's a convictor? Come on, anybody believe in the power of conviction? Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, cry out loud. Come on, somebody's eternity hangs in the balance. Come on, somebody's eternity hangs in the balance. Hallelujah. They're almost there. Amen. They're almost there. Almost thou persuadest me. Almost, almost, almost. Come on, I'm going to ask you one more time. I'm going to ask you one more time to pray with me right now. Hallelujah. Come on.